There were no more helicopters. He had the feeling that the ones that had passed overhead had been cleaning up the mess at the freight train siding, not hunting for him. Otherwise, they would have returned. They would have been tracker dogs and sirens and the whole paraphernalia of pursuit. Instead, there was nothing. What did he want? Not to get caught. Not to get blamed for the deaths of the men on the train.
It wasn't me,
he heard himself saying.
It was my dead wife.
He could imagine the expressions on the faces of the law officers. Then people could argue about whether he was crazy or not while he went to the chair. He wondered whether Wisconsin had the death penalty. He wondered whether that would matter. He wanted to understand what was going on and to find out how it was all going to end. And finally, producing a half-rueful grin, he realized that most of all, he wanted everything to be normal. He wanted never to have gone to prison, for Laura to still be alive, for none of this ever to have happened.
I'm afraid that's not exactly an option, my boy,
he thought to himself in Wednesday's gruff voice, and he nodded agreement.
Not an option. You burned your bridges, so keep walking. Do your own time.
A distant woodpecker drummed against a rotten log. Shadow became aware of eyes on him. A handful of red cardinals stared at him from a skeletal elder bush, then returned to pecking at the clusters of black elderberries. They looked like the illustrations in the Songbirds of North America calendar. He heard the birds' video arcade trills and zaps and whoops follow him along the side of the creek. Eventually they faded away. The dead fawn lay in a glade in the shadow of a hill, and a blackbird the size of a small dog was picking at its side with a large, wicked beak, rending and tearing gobbets of red meat from the corpse. Its eyes were gone, but its head was untouched, and white fawn spots were visible on its rump. Shadow wondered how it had died. The blackbird cocked its head onto one side and then said, in a voice like stones being struck,
"You Shadow Man."
"I'm Shadow,"
said Shadow. The bird hopped up onto the fawn's rump, raised its head, ruffled its crown and neck feathers. It was enormous, and its eyes were black beads. There was something intimidating about a bird that size, this close.
"Says he will see you in Cairo,"
talked the raven. Shadow wondered which of Odin's ravens this was, Huggin or Munin, memory or thought.
"Cairo?"
"In Egypt."
"How am I going to go to Egypt?"
"Follow Mississippi. Go south. Find Jackal."
"Look, I don't want to seem like I'm... Jesus, look..."
He paused, regrouped. He was cold, standing in a wood, talking to a big black bird who was currently brunching on Bambi.
"Okay, what I'm trying to say is, I don't want mysteries."
"Mysteries?"
"What I want is explanations. Jackal and Cairo, this does not help me. It's a line from a bad spy thriller."
"Jackal. Friend. Doc. Cairo."
"So you said. I'd like a little more information than that."
The bird half turned and pulled another bloody strip of raw venison from the fawn's ribs. Then it flew off into the trees, the red strip dangling from its beak like a long bloody worm.
"Hey, can you at least get me back to a real road?"
called Shadow. The raven flew up and away. Shadow looked at the corpse of the baby deer. He decided that if he were a real woodsman, he would slice off a steak and grill it over a wood fire. Instead, he sat on a fallen tree and ate a Snickers bar and knew that he really wasn't a real woodsman. The raven cawed from the edge of the clearing.
"You want me to follow you? Or has Timmy fallen down another well?"
The bird cawed again impatiently. Shadow started walking toward it. It waited until he was close, then flapped heavily into another tree, heading somewhat to the left of the way Shadow had originally been going.
"Hey, Huggin or Munin, or whoever you are."
The bird turned, head tipped, suspiciously on one side, and it stared at him with bright eyes.
"Say nevermore."
"Fuck you,"
said the raven. It said nothing else as they went through the woodland together, the raven in the lead and flying from tree to tree, the man stomping heavily through the undergrowth trying to catch up. The sky was a uniform gray. It was almost midday. In half an hour, they reached a blacktop road on the edge of a town, and the raven flew back into the wood. Shadow observed a Culver's frozen custard butter burgers sign, and next to it, a gas station. He went into the Culver's, which was empty of customers. There was a keen young man with a shaven head behind the cash register. Shadow ordered 2 butter burgers and french fries. Then he went into the restroom to clean up. He looked a real mess. He did an inventory of the contents of his pockets. He had a few coins, including the silver Liberty dollar, a disposable toothbrush and toothpaste, 3 Snickers bars, 5 chemical heater pads, a wallet with nothing more in it than his driver's license and a credit card. He wondered how much longer the credit card had to live. And in the coat's inside pocket, $1,000 in 50s and 20s, his take from yesterday's bank job. He washed his face and hands in hot water, slicked down his dark hair, then went back into the restaurant and ate his burgers and fries and drank his coffee. He went back to the counter.
"You want frozen custard?"
asked the keen young man.
No thanks. Is there anywhere around here I could rent a car? My car died back down the road away."
The young man scratched his head stubble.
"Not around here, mister. If your car died, you could call AAA, or talk to the gas station next door about a tow."
"A fine idea, thanks."
He walked across the melting snow from the Culver's parking lot to the gas station. He bought candy bars and beef jerky sticks and more chemical hand and feet warmers.
"Anywhere hereabouts I could rent a car?"
he asked the woman behind the cash register. She was immensely plump and bespectacled and was delighted to have someone to talk to.
"Let me think. We're kind of out of the way here. They do that kind of thing over in Madison. Where are you going?"
"Cairo, wherever that is."
"I know where that is. Hand me that map from that rack over there."
Shadow passed her a plastic-coated map of Illinois. She unfolded it, then pointed in triumph to the bottommost corner of the state.
"There it is."
"Cairo?"
"That's how they pronounce the one in Egypt. The one in Little Egypt. They call that one Cairo. They got a Thebes down there. All sorts. My sister-in-law comes from Thebes. I asked her about the one in Egypt. She looked at me as if I had a screw loose."
The woman chuckled like a drain.
"Any pyramids?"
The city was 500 miles away, almost directly south.
"Not that they ever told me. They call it Little Egypt because back, maybe 100-150 years back, there was a famine all over. Crops failed, but they didn't fail down there. So everyone went there to buy food, like in the Bible. Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. Off we go to Egypt. Bada boom."
"So if you were me and you needed to get there, how would you go?"
"Drive."
"Car died a few miles down the road. It was a piece of shit, if you'll pardon my language."
"P.O.S.'s. Yup, that's what my brother-in-law calls them. He buys and sells cars in a small way. He'll call me up, say, 'Maddie, I just sold another P.O.S.' Say, maybe he'd be interested in your old car. For scrap or something."
"It belongs to my boss,"
said Shadow, surprising himself with the fluency and ease of his lies.
"I need to call him so he can come pick it up."
A thought struck him.
"Your brother-in-law, is he around here?"
"He's in Muskoda, 10 minutes south of here, just over the river. Why?"
"Well, does he have a POS he'd like to sell me for, $500-$600?
She smiled sweetly.
"Mister, he doesn't have a car on that back lot you couldn't buy with a full tank of gas for $500. But don't you tell him I said so."
"Would you call him?"
"I'm way ahead of you,"
she told him and picked up the phone.
"Hon, it's Maddie. You get over here this minute. I got a man here, wants to buy a car."
The piece of shit he chose was a 1983 Chevy Nova, which he bought, with a full tank of gas, for $450. It had almost 250,000 miles on the clock, and smelled faintly of bourbon, tobacco, and more strongly of something that reminded Shadow of bananas. He couldn't tell what color it was under the dirt and the snow. Still, of all the vehicles in Maddie's brother-in-law's back lot, it was the only one that looked like it might take him 500 miles. The deal was done in cash, and Maddie's brother-in-law never asked for Shadow's name or social security number or for anything except the money. Shadow drove west, then south, with $550 in his pocket, keeping off the interstate.